That would be wonderful. So back to the book of Jude. And I'm going to read some verses. Change the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord, and will face the most terrible punishment. And then in verse 17. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray again, shall we, as we come to these words. Lord, you know my weakness, our weakness. You know my sinfulness, our sinfulness. But we praise you and thank you so much for your grace shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. And so please would you speak to us this morning as the living Lord from your living word for his glory and honor. Amen. Well, some fires are so dangerous that the only way to get close to them without being frazzled, incinerated, is in a suit that is fire resistant. Not the suits that some of us may wear, but no, this is a suit made of material which is fire resistant, very costly. It's the kind of suit that can enable scientists to approach a volcano. Or in terrible fires like the bushfires in Los Angeles, to be able to get close enough for rescue. See, in some fires, we're only safe within that kind of suit that can withstand searing temperatures. Now, over the last couple of sermons in Jude, we have seen something more terrifying, haven't we? Something more powerful than the worst fire or the worst volcano, the punishment of God, his wrath, which we read about in Psalm 2. And Jude describes it in verse 6 as everlasting chains. In verse 7, the punishment of eternal fire. In verse 13, the blackest darkness forever. And Jude warns his readers of this because of his biological brother Jesus Christ's teaching and his regular warnings, which we read of in the Gospels. I take it out of great love for people. Jesus taught these things because he'd come to save people like you and me from that fire. And of course, no one really likes talking about it or hearing about it. But if we want to remain faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we want to love like he loved, we cannot but speak of these things. I guess there are three reactions to the doctrine of hell. Some think it is scaremongering. In which case, we would think Jesus, in his love and sacrifice, was scaremongering when he warned the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Maybe we're convinced that hell is real, and yet we don't want to think of it because we're not confident that we are safe. Not confident that we will be kept by God's grace. But you see, the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ in his gospel is that if we repent, if we turn away from living for ourselves and follow him as our Lord and God, enjoying God's grace, we are safe from the fire. Jesus died on the cross, taking the hot fury of God in the place of people like you and me, so that we can be safe, secure, forever, in something far more glorious than this fire suit that keeps us safe in front of a volcano or a raging fire. No, in Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian here this morning, isn't that a wonderful, wonderful truth that we are in Jesus Christ? When God looks at us, he sees the perfection of his glorious only Son. His wrath will never come near us because it is fallen on him. Wonderful, amazing grace and love. Is it not? Does it not thrill your heart? It thrills mine. And yet Jude begins his letter to Christians reminding them of God's secure love to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Yet they were in danger of forgetting what they'd been rescued from, and therefore not contending for it for others. But just first, before we look at the passage we had read, maybe you want this morning to be safe before the judgment day of Jesus Christ. You want to know that you will be welcomed into heaven, kept by God's power from this day until that day. Kept by Jesus Christ. Well, you can be. Maybe this morning for you, this is the day to trust in Jesus Christ. To, if you like, get into that fire suit, to become in him. And if that's something that you want to do, even this morning, then do see me afterwards. And we can pray together either now or sometime during the week, and you can receive Christ, trust in Jesus Christ, be safe forever. Don't put this off. Now is the day of salvation. As we read in Psalm 2, blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. You will be eternally blessed if you take that step. So if you're not yet a Christian, can I encourage you to take that step? Do see me afterwards. But the Christians that Jude is writing to were in danger of forgetting this, and so not contending for the faith. And so Jude explains not just that they are to contend for the faith, but how they are to contend for the faith in the reality, or given the reality of eternal judgment. And this is where Jude gets more practical. Our first point is this: keep yourselves in God's love. How? By building and praying. This is verses 20 and 21. Excuse me. See, the way this sentence is structured, the ESV gets clear as follows: but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. We're not there yet. There's still more mercy and grace to come to us when Jesus returns. But the way in which, if we're a Christian here this morning, we keep ourselves in God's love, and Jude is not shy of saying this is our responsibility, even though God's grace keeps us, the two go together, is in two ways. We build ourselves up and we pray in the Holy Spirit. That's how we keep ourselves in God's love. Now, I think here Jude assumes an existing knowledge in the whole first century church. He's writing a Catholic epistle, a letter to every church in that time. And so many of the churches would have heard teaching like that we read about in Ephesians 4. So just to fill out what it means to build each other up and to pray in the Holy Spirit, we're going to flip back to Ephesians. So keep a finger in Jude and turn with me back to the first reading we had, Ephesians chapter 4, which speaks lots of unity in the face of the division that was being caused then and is often caused in the church because of those who turn the grace of God into a license for sexual immorality. He emphasizes the unity Christians have. And then, in verse 15, in response to the waves that blow Christians around because of false teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men, he says, verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So there we, here we have an exposition, if you like, of what it looks like to build each other up. It's something in which we are growing up into Christ, empowered by Christ, being joined together by Christ. But practically, this means speaking to each other truthfully and lovingly. Practically, it means we work for the body of the church. Hard work. Yes, Christ does all this through us as we grow up into him. I don't know if you've ever had to build up your body. Anybody ever had to do that? I don't know. Maybe some of us are rugby players or a long time ago. And we're into the weights and bodybuilding. Maybe it's the exercises that we have to do just to keep our body working. I have to do these. Maybe it's a joint replacement. We have to build up the muscles again round the joint. Or supporting a weakened joint. If we stop working at it, it will become weak. See, it takes work. It takes discipline. To build the church here at Fordham will only happen with work and discipline. That's what love always does, according to Ephesians 4. So are we at work for each other, building each other up, speaking what builds each other up? That's what Jude says is the response to contending for the faith. We want this church to be strong, to stand. But that means the disciplined, week by week, sometimes drudgery of serving coffee, of making sure the heating's on, of tidying up the hymn books, of serving in All Saints Club, just getting here. It's what love does. It builds others up. And what Paul says in Ephesians 4 is that key to this work of love and work and service are the word gifts, bringing the word of God. So look back at verse 11. It was he, that's Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Christ is the one who builds. He gets all the glory, but he does it as we hear his word, which inspires us and encourages us to work, to serve, to strengthen his body, the church here at Fordham. So, are we regularly hearing the preaching of his word, Sunday by Sunday, to hear Christ's voice? Are we reading his word regularly? We may try every day. I try every day, don't always get to read it every day in a non-professional sense, if you get my drift. But that's how we're strengthened and instructed to serve and build up the body of Christ. See, what Jude is saying is that we do not contend just by having the right opinions. So tempting, isn't it, to think, well, we have the right convictions, so we are contending. No, Jude says we contend. We keep ourselves in the love of God by week doing the hard work of love, the hard work of speaking out of love with people we meet regularly because we love them. So that's the first way in which we keep ourselves in the love of God. The second way, Jude says, is by praying in the Holy Spirit. Both of these things are together kinds of activities. He's not saying that we shouldn't pray on our own, you know, close our door and pray to our Father, who is unseen, as Jesus instructed. But if we just flip over the page in Ephesians, we'll see this phrase, praying in the Holy Spirit again. It's not praying in some special kinds of tongues. No, this is just normal Christian prayer together. This is how we fight. This is how we contend. Because he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, as he ends the book of Ephesians, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Do we not need his mighty power to stand and contend as Christians? We need his mighty power, don't we? I know I do. How? Well, he talks about this whole armor of God, the full armor of God. And part of the full armor of God is verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, I think, is summing up the whole of the armor of God. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. There's so many alls there, aren't there? Always praying, always being alert. Praying for all the saints, all the Christians. So do we pray with other Christians whenever we meet up with them? Some of you might be going to lunch with one another later on. As a friend of mine in ministry says, we'd be worse than pagans if we didn't pray. Will you pray together? Do we pray before the service for this mighty power that I need, that we all need? Do come along to pray with us for the preaching of God's word before the service. Do we come to prayer focus? Now, this isn't to go on a guilt trip. This is just to keep ourselves in the love of God, Jude says. See, prayer with other Christians is something which keeps us. There's so many times in my life when I've felt like giving up, and it's prayer with other Christians that has kept me going. The wonderful encouragement of them praying and then seeing answers to prayer. God is real. He does answer prayer. We've seen this in our growth group. But you see, I do see another pattern amongst us, and it really concerns me. It goes something like this. People stop coming to the prayer meeting or stop praying with others. I offer to go and pray with them. They don't want me to go round. They start missing church except when they are on rotas. Then they come off the rotas. Then they stop coming to church. And before you know it, I hear that something has gone seriously wrong in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. They may even say they're not Christians anymore. Please, don't let that be you. Because we keep ourselves in God's love by building together and praying together. Now, of course, that's not to say people don't come back. But talk to any minister, any pastor up and down this land, some do not. And it's often the issue of sexual immorality. So, keep yourselves in God's love by building and praying. Secondly, be merciful to those under judgment. See, the New Testament says a lot about how to respond to false Christians and false teachers, and we'll be considering what the New Testament says as a whole next Sunday evening at the seminar. So do come to that if you can to ask questions, or I hope it will be recorded or even videoed, and then you'll be able to benefit from it. But Jude teaches how we should respond, all of us, to those who are under the judgment of God. How are we to respond? Be merciful. Be merciful. So easy, isn't it, to slip into judgmentalism. Those not speaking and acting in line with the gospel. But if we understand what Jude has said, such face a terrible future. A future that we once faced But the mercy and grace of God has found us, hasn't it? And so he says, be merciful to those who doubt. Let's flip back to Jude, verse 22. Be merciful to those who doubt. You see, there are so many people, I meet them at deanery meetings or deanery synod meetings or talk with them, who are confused by the influence of those turning the grace of God into a license for immorality. Even clergy are confused because our bishops are saying that that's okay now. See, they may be genuine Christians, but they're confused. They're not comfortable with what's happening, but they just have never heard the Bible's teaching on it. Or don't think to go to the Bible. See, how will they hear the biblical case sensitively put? Well, surely it's through people like you and me, who may be in conversation with people. We realise that they're confused, and if we care for them, if we want to be merciful to them, it may be costly for us, but we'll suggest what the Bible teaches. We might point them to a website where the Bible's case is sensitively and in an emotionally intelligent way put. I remember talking to a doctor friend of someone who had wonderfully come out of a cult where they had engaged in free love. That's what this, quote, Christian cult did. And when this woman heard the teaching of the Bible, she immediately realized that this was wrong. And she repented. And there may be many people out there who at the moment are confused and never hear the Bible's teaching clearly put. And if they're genuinely the Lord's, when they hear the Lord's teaching, they will realize it comes from their master's voice. And they will repent. As you know, I have met with bishops, and I've asked both our bishops to teach publicly the biblical doctrine of marriage, knowing this very truth, that if people hear the biblical doctrine of marriage, those who are the Lord's will want to go with the Lord. But unfortunately, over the last year, they've not. And they've not let others teach the biblical doctrine of marriage within deaneries. But that doesn't mean that we can't. Show mercy to those with whom we profoundly disagree. So that's the first category, those who doubt. The second category, verse 23, is snatch others from the fire and save them. There's no doubt in Jude's mind that these people are in the fire. This is where they're heading. Hell's men walking. But mercy is still the key. It is wonderful, and can I commend this to you, to read testimonies of those caught up in sexual immorality of various different kinds, but in this book, particularly those in same-sex relationships, who through the teaching of the Bible and the patient love of Christians have come to a point of repentance. It is a wonderful book. Can I commend it to you? But equally, we need maybe to equip ourselves, not just with the right biblical view so that we can trot it out, but a way of putting it in such a way that we are merciful with it. We track it back to Jesus, who loves people and he wants the best for people. He wants them to live under his blessing. And his teaching is marriages between a male and a female for life. He's good. But let's also not kid ourselves of the current situation that we're in. To speak to those who have same-sex attraction as if either the Lord calls them to celibacy rather than, or marriage if they're bisexual, to celibacy, rather than to affirm them in same-sex practice, is fast becoming illegal. You may be aware that the General Synod have banned conversion therapy, as they call it. Banned within the Church of England the notion that somebody who has same-sex attraction might be able to change. Now, of course, some therapies and counselling is wrong and bad, but the Church of England has officially said that I can no longer, according to what the General Synod has said, I should no longer say that somebody in a same-sex relationship needs to repent. And if they wanted to change, could offer them biblical counsel. and Parliament, who've not yet passed this into law, are being encouraged to do so by representatives from General Synod. There's a third category Jude speaks of. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Some people are actually hazardous for us. We don't want to talk with such without a degree of wariness. In other words, there may be some who are so hardened in twisting the gospel of grace into a license for immorality that we should have a godly fear. I think of clergy friends of mine who I'm close to who have changed their position on this. I still love them dearly. But I'd be a fool to think that if I spent lots of time with them and talked with them, they would not affect my convictions. It might mean that you have friends who hold that the gospel is one which allows any kind of sexual behaviour, and they claim to be Christians, or even vicars and ministers. We need to be wary. This friend that I'm thinking of in my own mind, it went to Oak Hill. He had all the correct theological training. He's absented himself now from the group from Oak Hill. So we would be foolish and naive to think that in showing mercy, we should not mix it with fear, lest we are dragged into the fire with them. And yet Jude finishes with an expression of the glorious keeping power of God to assure his readers, and our final and brief point, not because it's not wonderful and glorious, but because time doesn't permit me to go into this in great detail. Glorify God in his power to keep. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling. Isn't that wonderful confidence? If we're a Christian here this morning, he can keep us from falling in this area. And he is able to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Not because we are without fault, but because Christ is without fault. And God will be rejoicing that he has kept us for that day. Kept us in his love. So he gets all the glory for having kept us. We may not have slipped into sexual immorality, but that's only because of God and his grace and mercy to us. Yes, we may have come to church regularly, read our Bibles regularly, prayed with others, kept our spiritual zeal by serving in the church. But all of that is by God's power in us, not ours. He gets all the glory, doesn't he? And we may be sitting here and thinking, I'm just not sure I can keep going. I'm being tempted towards sexual immorality in to such a degree. I don't have the strength. But isn't it wonderful that God does? If we trust in God, if we trust in his Son Jesus Christ, he is able to keep us and present us perfect before his throne. And so to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.